My name is Eunice, and I am an addict.
Amen.
You know, and in keeping with our fifth tradition that says any addict, not that there would be some unfortunates, any addict could lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. You know, and I'm the any addict. I came around Narcotics Anonymous in 1990. I always say that I was the emergence of the crackhead. They called us the crack babies when we came in, because they were dope fiends when I came in. They had big hands, tracks, and it was very hard to identify with what was being said, because it was as if they had owned Narcotics Anonymous in the way that when people with addiction, no matter what the addiction is, when the addicts were entering, that we a lot of us believed we didn't belong, you know. So I kind of came in and out three times before I was clear that from Park Avenue to Park Bench, the disease did not discriminate. It did not care if you like sushi or heroin. It doesn't matter. You know, the addiction is the addiction. The disease is what it is. And that I'm never, never, never going to be fully recovered. That's why it's recovery for me. That there's no ED on it, because I know that I know it so well now. In my 18th year of clean time, I know that I do have a disease. Because, you know, every now and then you step out to see if you really got this disease. You know, like, I might be better now. You know, I might be able to do, but I'm still affected by things in the same way. I cannot be in a room full of people that are drinking. I cannot go where people are using. You know what I'm saying? My liver doesn't know the difference whether it's a high price alcohol or alcohol you rub on your body. See, I understand this disease I have, and I respect it. And that's pretty much my message today, is that no matter what, you don't use. And I've had so many no matter whats, and I've even negotiated with myself about the value of staying clean after this happened. You know, is it really worth it? Hell, I didn't go through this, and I know that I am alone unto this endeavor when I say I didn't go through this when I was using. You know, hell, what's the use? What's the difference? You know, and I find that each and every adversity that I go through, it turns out to be a growing experience. And all the while, there's people in NA telling you, don't worry, it's character building, it's this. And I'm like, but it hurts. You know, could somebody just feel my pain? This hurts me. Or either this is uncomfortable. You know, like, for me, what has worked for this addict is to come to the meetings and be straight up about what is bothering me. Because I learned this at 30 days clean, when I had to be 12-step by a group of addicts, because I was living in shame because I was pregnant and I didn't know who the baby's father was. I didn't know if it was the man I had lived with for 15 years or the guy that I had slept with for 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And when I raised my hand to share it, they cut me off and said, don't share that in here. That's it. What did they say? Outside issue? I said, no. I stood up and I said, no, it's an inside issue. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to let it out because I'm going to use. And I knew that I was going to use because I was scared. And I got hustled after the meeting in the corner. Look, girl, don't you share nothing like that in here again. You got to tell your sponsor those things. Well, she told me to share it because she couldn't handle it. You know, so with that, when I shared it, if you could just know the relief and I can't even tell you, that is where I decided right then and there I was never going anywhere. Because all my life, I had that feeling of loneliness, shame, guilt, embarrassment, denial, you name it. I was feeling it. I never knew who Eunice was. I never knew what it was like to just be okay with me. And then I came back to the meeting and a girl or two came up to me and said, look, girl, when you were sharing last week, I wanted to tell you, like, I got a couple of children. I'm not real sure. So see, that sealed me because now that's the identification. I'm able to understand. I came in with a friend of mine. He was Puerto Rican. He's like, I'm leaving because I'm Puerto Rican. Ain't no Puerto Ricans in here. And my sponsor told him, no, you sit down and wait, because another Puerto Rican might need to come in and see you sitting there and know that this is where they belong to. So, you know, like, it is very important that we embrace the newcomer and whatever their issues are. You know, like, when they're sharing that really crazy stuff, like, none of us really ever did that. You know, coming in here sharing that nonsense. Ain't none of us ever did that. You know, so when they're doing that, we got to love them. We got to let them know that it's okay. You know, like embarrassing them and shutting them down and cutting them down and, you know, being the grand poobah of the meeting and, you know. And I don't own none of this. I don't own none of this. There's no piece of this that belongs to me. The only way I keep this is when I give it away. And how I'm able to be here is because of the one addict helping another, because I met Camille at a meeting and she gave me such a warm hug and a welcome. And I just relaxed, because I'm always on the defense. I'm still Eunice. I curse you out like an art form. I do it. I'm so good at that. Because that's what I hid behind, the strong black woman thing, you know, all militant, pseudo intellectual, you know, I'm gonna get with the revolution as soon as I put this pipe down kind of girl. That's what I was. Yeah, I tell you a good story about, you know, being brought over here as a slave, and then as soon as a white man walk in the door, I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I'm good for the night now. You know, like that kind of thinking, and like having to sort through all of that and like restructure who you are based on who you thought you were. Now, I don't know what your addiction was like. Some people have the luxury to use and never alter who they are. But me, I became somebody that I didn't even recognize. I was so small that I had my daughter's underwear on. She was 7 years old when I came into Narcotics Anonymous. Okay? So I didn't know who I was. And as I embraced my first step, and I always tell this story about my first step, because the newcomer who might feel intimidated by working the steps, it's a two-parter, and our literature doesn't say it, but the experience, this is an experienced addict speaking to you right now. It does say there's a second admission, so that means there's two parts. That's what the literature says. So we have to learn to interpret for ourselves what that means to us. See, and what it meant is that for 3 years, I was clean. I bought nice shoes. I hung out with the girls that wore nice shoes. And, you know, I could be recognized by that group. I'm down with so-and-so. She had 29 sponsees and I was number 27. I'm with them. You know, but it comes a point in your recovery where that does not sustain you. And then your anonymity statement kicks in and you realize that it doesn't matter who knows who's sponsoring you. That you need to know who's sponsoring you. And you need to know what it is that this person can help you with. And you really need to be clear on what exactly that is. Because for when I first came in, I thought my sponsor was supposed to fix me. And I would get mad and I would character assassinate her all up and down. I called her 3 times and she did not answer the phone. You know, like, And then I became a sponsor. So then it all came to me like, wow, was I, did I do that? You know, so that second admission is when we talk about the unmanageability. See, what I didn't come into meetings and shared, because you could see that I dressed nice, so I got it going on, that my rent hadn't been paid and I had an eviction notice on my door. And I was lighting candles in the dark house, you know, and that my little girl called me up one day and said, Mommy, the house is on fire. This is nice. And I had to guide her to get a bucket to put the fire out because I was in NA meetings, leaving my young children in the house alone with no lights. Still the same behavior of the after that. So the strict adherence to the steps is really important when you first come. So you can get some immediate relief from yourself, you know. My second step came when I was in a meeting and I wanted to share because these people, this meeting had the reputation of, oh, you know, they got good recovery and that means, you know, I'm always going to go and fix something. I'm going to make it Eunice's. I'm going to own it. And they kind of spiritually spanked me in that meeting, you know. And after the meeting, they gave me a meeting list just like that one. And I said, no, I'm crying. I'm in a river of tears. I'm like, no, I don't need that. They said, yes, you do. Because I thought because I had 3 years clean, I had grown beyond the meeting list with names and phone numbers. And they reminded me that somewhere in your process, you forgot how to pick up the phone and reach out and talk about what's really, really going on with you and not use the meetings as your personal forum to spew your disease. You know, and from that point, I really started to get into the process for real. Like, I got a different kind of relationship with my sponsor. And when I did, she was ready. She was ready. And I found that she was ready at whatever level I approached her at because she had clean time and experience when I picked her. I didn't get somebody that had 60 days more than I did. Or somebody that was on step three when I needed a full set of 12 when I got here. Trust me, I did. And I was fortunate to find that. And when I started to open up to her and I got honest in that fourth step, I really did. And that fifth step, my fifth step wasn't so devastating because I started getting honest real quick. You know, and I my sixth and seventh step, look, I'll say this to you. Our steps run in a succession, but that sixth step, you can't make that happen. You know how we look at that one and say, oh, I'm just going to slide right through that. Don't want the defect showing up. Don't want nobody to know I got them. I'm going to fix those. But let me tell you something. The first line in our basic text about that sixth step says, why ask for something before you're ready? And it's the truth. It's something about that sixth step when you purge all that stuff in five, you ready. And you can't even call the day that it's going to happen. You know? And I remember being in the middle of my kitchen floor in a knot looking for my seventh step. And a call came through. It was another addict. And they told me to get up off the floor and hug myself. You know, and stand up and walk straight and now get ready to make the amends. Make the list. Find out who you done hurt in this process. Because it is no longer all about you. And until you can address you, you can't address any other person. You can't love. Oh, you be in love in here. Oh, you be in love. Oh, you be in love in here. Oh, you be in love. Oh my God. You be in love. I'm not lying. I've been in love in here. I got married in here. I'm telling you. I can tell you. Oh my God. You know, and I forgot about my disease, that my disease will thrive on that. Because it feel good, it look good, it tastes good. That's the stuff. But now, where I'm at in my life right now, in the acceptance of Eunice, I got something better to accept now. I don't have to accept the behavior, the destructive behavior. Because listen, when I said 3 years in here, still tricking, calling them my boyfriends, You know, still trying to get somebody to fill that void that my daddy left. You know, still acting out all the pain and suffering of my life that I can't explain and can't understand, because I won't sit down and let somebody just help me, because I'm different. I'm better. I'm that ain't me. You ever hear somebody share something to me and then they hit your stuff like bow, and you'd be like, oh, not me. But it's you. You just don't want to admit it at that moment, like it catch you off guard. Look, if you knew, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, think about what you want to be. Think about where you want to go in your life. And don't be afraid of the things that are going to come your way, because there are going to be things that come your way. You know, but there's nothing that you can't get through without your peers in this process, a sponsor, a best friend. You know, like, let somebody know who you are. You know, don't be afraid to raise your hand and say, look, today, y'all, I'm hurting. This is why I'm hurting. You know, like, I've seen people try to present themselves as a celebrity or a, really, I'm serious. And then when they were hurting, you know, like they were out, they hadn't gone back out already. They hadn't left us because they never bought it into us. You know, they used to tell me when I came in, you get in the middle so you don't fall off the edge. You know, and like I remember when they used to smoke in meetings and I knew I was serious about that recovery, I would come in, sweep up, put the ashtrays, fold the chairs, and look around and want to know what else can I do. I mean, that's how I got taxed. I got taxed. And guess what? Today, I still do that. I still stick around and help you fold up chairs. I'm never going to grow beyond this day of grace being clean. Clean time is not an intimidating factor to keep the newcomer in awe of me, or to lace myself up with a bunch of sponsees that I can't handle. You know, and I'm not helping them because I can't handle it. You know, like, I've really come to respect the newcomer in this process, because that's what lets me know. It continues to validate for me why I'm here. And that in order to keep what I got, which is my 12th step, I got to give it away. And I want to say something briefly about the 11 step process, which really shaped me into the woman that I am today. Because that one is where, that's the one where you take in everything you've learned and you get that conscious contact with the God that you understand. And you know what? It is very personal, and it becomes, you know, like we're very careful about how we talk about the God piece in here. You know, because we got so many different kinds of people, but when it becomes so personal, it becomes almost, you know, like our basic text in the 11th step, it talks about the eclectic view we pick up, where we could go and sit in an ashram or a synagogue and feel what it is that's coming through, because we have opened ourselves up to a higher calling. And what I've done with that, you know, I ain't even going to give you my resume. I'm just going to ask you to trust me and to tell you that when I found out what my purpose in life was, and that God, how he led me to it and how he keeps me in it, it's beautiful. And don't believe them when they say you can't make a hoe into a housewife. That is not true. So, you know, I'm done. I feel it. Like, I'm done. I think I've said enough. No matter what. It's like no matter what. And I'm really kind of going through a no matter what. And I really appreciate being able to chair this meeting, because I needed your love today. I really needed to see you guys. And I need some hugs after this meeting. And like, I just need you to tell me it's going to be all right. That's what I need today. That's what I need from you. I love you, and thanks for letting me share. Thank you.